how about in the middle of yet another frenetic news cycle, we do something a little different? Go deep on a couple of policy stories and turn to you, our listeners, to give us even more context. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And this week, we are going to follow up on a few things we've been covering on this show, including where the recovery from Hurricane Maria stands in Puerto Rico. And we start with more on a story from last week's show on food deserts and what a lack of access to fresh produce can mean for wellness.
High-end communities had way more access to fresh produce than communities of color and low-income communities had. The high-income areas had 14 times more access to even frozen vegetables.
That's Lauren Ornelas, executive director of the Food Empowerment Project. And there's a part in our conversation that didn't make it to air but piqued our interest.
Grocery stores are actually vacating these communities and placing restrictive deeds, preventing grocery stores from moving in for up to 15 years. Teenagers who are 15 years old have never had a grocery store in their community.
Restrictive deeds, also called restrictive covenants. Well, what are they and what do they mean for grocery stores? Well, let's start with what happens when a supermarket, often an anchor of a shopping area, leaves town. For Pam Bricker, it was the Safeway store in downtown Greeley, Colorado.
Oh, well, it was very handy, you know, working downtown for me to be able to stop there and pick up things on the way home.
But then in 2014, it closed after nearly 60 years in business.
I don't even know that they gave a full month's notice before the store closed.
In a statement released at the time, Safeway said, quote, "For more than a year, we evaluated the store extensively and looked at options to improve its performance. Ultimately, our business analysis indicated that we needed to cease operations at that location." It was the only grocery store in downtown Greeley, a city of 100,000 people north of Denver. Bricker, who directs Greeley's Downtown Development Authority, had a mission: find a new grocery store for the vacant space.
So that is exactly what we did. We went out on an offer for that building. However, the contingency came back that we would be unable to operate any other type of grocery store for at least a period of 20 years.
Yep. No grocery store in that spot for 20 years. And it all comes down to two words: restrictive covenant. Tanya Marsh teaches law at Wake Forest University.
So a restrictive covenant is just a promise where the landlord promises the tenant, in this case a grocery store, that they're not going to lease other space to competing uses.
Basically, a grocery store's lease will say the landlord can't rent the space to another grocer. Grocery stores don't want another one next door. And grocery stores are big clients, so landlords listen.
They're routine. There's hardly a grocery store in the United States that does not benefit from these kinds of restrictive covenants. They're just standard in the industry.
But when stores close, critics like Lauren Ornelas say these restrictive covenants can lead to food deserts, which brings us back to where we started. And for more on this from a grocery store's perspective, we have David Rogers. He heads DSR Marketing Systems, which conducts location analysis for grocery retailers. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain why a grocery store or chain would want to have a restrictive covenant in place when a store closes?
If they have sister stores, which they still operate within a distance of, for example, 2 or 3 miles, they may wish to protect their sales out of concern that the space they're vacating would go to a competitor and have an impact on them.
We've heard, obviously, from, you know, activists and critics who say, well, but a restrictive covenant can leave behind a food desert. I mean, is that something that stores think through?
That is an issue. Everyone's very aware these days about the political significance of food deserts, but there's other issues of competition they're very concerned about.
You know, I wonder, when we're thinking about kind of retailers and large grocery stores, is there a way they could see food deserts as an opportunity?
I think particularly as the industry is trending towards a somewhat smaller store size, their interest in areas like food deserts is increasing because a smaller box, which is less costly to operate, would be more desirable for them.
Can you kind of walk me through the factors and the thinking that go into picking a site and the kind of neighborhood someone operates in? I'd imagine that's a very complex calculation. What's involved?
It is. A lot's involved. I mean, the site characteristics itself, the co-tenants, is there adequate parking? How much competition? Where is it located? If the area is coming up or going down or stagnant? And clearly, cost of rents is a big issue, you know, for a supermarket.
You know, you do location analysis and research for these companies. And I guess I'm curious, when your clients are coming to you thinking about 2018 and going forward, what are they worried about? What's really top of mind for them?
Top of mind right now is Amazon, and I think it's overblown. Now, if you are a upmarket retailer that serves the Amazon Prime type of customer, you are concerned about the fact that Amazon can now integrate Whole Foods with their Prime memberships, and they can really serve the more affluent customer quite well. But if you are a retailer that's serving average incomes or lower incomes, I don't see how Amazon is as great a threat.
Well, there's been some concern, to get back to the food desert question, that sort of the growth of online shopping for groceries might contribute to food deserts.
What we've not discussed is that the other major impact now taking place in the U.S. grocery industry is the growth of the limited assortment retailers like Aldi and Lidl and Save-A-Lot. Their stores may be 10,000 square feet or 20,000 square feet in size. So they can slot into a lot of sites, even those in food deserts. Those small box retailers, I think, have the potential to contribute to solving the problem of the food desert, as long as it's profitable for them.
Well, David Rogers, president of DSR Marketing Systems, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's the situation in your neighborhood? Has a store closed? And if so, what has that meant for you and how you shop? We want to hear about it. So get in touch. You can email us, weareweekend@marketplace.org, or leave us a message on our voicemail, 1-800-648-5114.